Earlier this week, a federal court decided that the Drake's Bay Oyster Company can stay open for now. Late last year, the government ordered the controversial farm to close so that Drake's Estero, where the company operates, could become the first fully protected marine wilderness in the continental United States. But the owners sued, and the case has been in the courts ever since. On Monday, the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals granted the farm a temporary injunction. The farm won't close yet, but the controversy is far from settled. KALW's Casey Miner and producer Ray Sue Sussman went to Drake's Bay to delve into the bigger philosophical questions that this case asks us to consider about how we want to interact with wilderness and how we can protect it from ourselves. Here's Casey.
Heading north out of San Francisco in a car, it doesn't take long to leave the city behind. You'll drive through the dense urban landscape of the Richmond and cross the Golden Gate Bridge, taking the 101 freeway north. You'll exit and slow down to meander through the woodsy suburbs and cutesy main streets on Sir Francis Drake. The road will get rougher, the buildings fewer and further apart. The hills will take over the landscape, then the redwood trees, until you feel like the metropolis is a million miles away. This is the route to Point Reyes, or more accurately, the Point Reyes National Seashore. We'll stop here a minute. Point Reyes is run by the National Park Service, and it includes a federally protected wilderness area. The government defines a wilderness as
an area where the earth and its community of life are untrammeled by man, where man himself is a visitor who does not remain.
Point Reyes is filled with visitors, over 2 million of them each year. They contribute $85 million a year to the region's economy through things like camping fees, kayak rentals, and stopping in at local businesses. For the most part, the relationship between Point Reyes and its visitors is mutually beneficial. But there's also a tension between preserving a natural area for its own sake and encouraging people to interact with it. To see this tension playing out, we'll have to continue on our journey and head to the seashore's northwestern edge, to Drake's Estero and the Drake's Bay Oyster Company. This doesn't look like the site of a battle. It's a small shack at the end of a windy road, the ground scattered with shells. People sit at picnic tables, eating baskets of fresh oysters and looking out over Drake's Estero, a saltwater estuary that's home to thousands of birds, fish, and harbor seals. It feels quiet, even when there are a lot of people around, which lately there have been.
We're loving it.
Thanks so much.
Thank you. Good luck with everything.
Thank you, guys.
Drake's Bay Oyster Company has always been popular. The owners say it provides over a third of the state's oysters, and that's in addition to the lunchtime crowds here. But since late December, customers have wandered in with a little more purpose.
I mean, I think of myself as usually on the Save the Seals team, but this feels different, and it does feel like it's impacting the community.
Nadia Yavorsky is sitting at one of the tables on this overcast day, not long after the business got word that it would have to close.
That's something that we are happy to be a part of and something we're sad to see go. I mean, they're calling themselves a sustainable farm, and I've always seen it that way. It doesn't feel like it has a negative impact on the environment from what I've seen here.
The oyster company is located in what's known as a potential wilderness area within the seashore. 40 years ago, the government granted the company a special lease to continue operating, but that lease expired in late 2012. The farm's owners sued the government, and the case is still going through the courts. But the government maintains that it's time to turn this potential wilderness into a fully protected one.
No one cares more deeply about this ecosystem than we do. I was born and raised on the ranch next door.
This is Kevin Lunny. His family's owned the Drake's Bay Oyster Farm since 2005. The way he sees it, the farm is as integral to Marin's ecosystems, both human and natural, as the birds and the harbor seals.
The people that are opposing us, it's a very few, very extreme wilderness activists. They're not environmentalists. They represent a very, very small, loud, well-funded, well-organized group that is in favor of hands-off preservation, a humanless landscape, and they can't tolerate a working landscape in a place like this.
You know, I'm pretty new to West Marin, but people have been telling me for the past couple of years that there's not been a fight like this in well over three decades.
10 miles away in Point Reyes Station is Amy Trainer's office. Trainer chairs the Environmental Action Committee of West Marin. It's one of the groups that pushed hardest for the oyster farm's closure. Behind her desk is a framed poster showing an aerial photo of Point Reyes and the Estero.
And it's this vibrant colors of aquamarine and green and blue. And there's a really sweet horizon line out at the edge of the ocean. And so when you look at this photo, you really kind of get how magical and really amazing and special this place is, and why Congress chose to protect it as wilderness.
Point Reyes has long had elements of both Kevin Lunny's working landscape and Amy Trainor's wilderness. There are historic working ranches throughout the park area, including right next to Drake's Estero. There are also elk preserves and redwood groves near the Estero, areas that people visit but ultimately leave. And then there are the areas that have transitioned from one use to the other, like the Giacomini wetlands, just a block away from Trainor's office.
It's almost 600 acres of restored wetlands, and you can see there's a bunch of ducks and migrating birds. We have kites and hawks, and we have a pair of bald eagles that have been hanging around the past month.
This whole area used to be a dairy ranch. It's actually named for the ranching family. And Trainor says it's a perfect example of what Drake's Estero could become.
It's just really special to be able to come out and have access to this pristine area that's been restored that's so close to town.
A pristine Drake's Estero would be hard to see. A lot of the ecosystem is underwater. If the oyster company closed, it might look much the same. But Trainor and other activists say it would be very different because the human influence would be gone. But can that influence ever fully disappear? That's what Valerio Salgado wonders.
We see places like in Canada, places where even you don't see anything for miles and miles and miles. Here, you find cows. What that means, there is a person feeding. You find a raccoon killed by a car. Many things.
Salgado works at Drake's Bay. He's one of about 30 people who will have to find new jobs if the farm closes. He and his wife have worked on farms in the area for more than two decades. Sitting and eating his lunch with her at one of the picnic tables, he theorizes about what they might do if Drake's Bay closes.
We are willing to take the first job we can perform. So, as I tell you, I will try driver, and as she said, maybe working in a hotel or a job she can perform.
What will happen to workers like Salgado has been a big question, both for the farm's owners and for local environmental groups. Farm advocates say there's no sense in shutting down a lucrative local food business and putting people out of work. Amy Trainor takes issue with that characterization.
There's no question everybody supports local, sustainable, you know, food operations and agricultural production. But that's not the issue here.
For one thing, she says the Lunnies always knew the farm's lease would expire and that they should have planned better for its closure. She also says the oyster company's not sustainable, that it actually harms the environment. Of course, the oyster farm and its supporters refute those claims. And let's just say there has been a lot of back and forth over this question for years. Scientists and government agencies have done studies, released reports, found flaws in those reports. Both sides have accused each other of bad science. In the end, though, the government didn't base its decision to close Drake's Bay on science. It based it on a principle. Here's Trainor.
One is that I think we're really blessed out in West Marin that we can have it all. I also think that, you know, we have to just say no sometimes. You know, there are places where nature absolutely has a right and should just exist in its own right. And if we start compromising our very special places, then it's a really slippery slope.
This, Trainor says, is what the federal definition of wilderness really means. It shouldn't matter whether a particular business is sustainable or unsustainable, good for the local economy or not. It's still a business, and it doesn't belong in a place called a wilderness. Trainor says deciding anything else undermines the whole idea of preserving public land.
We can't have commercial activities in our wilderness lands. I think that would change their character too much.
Janie Hine is executive director for Law, Energy, and the Environment at UC Berkeley's Bolt School of Law. And in full disclosure, a few years ago, Hine worked on a legal team that represented the oyster company pro bono. She says a law like the Wilderness Act, which is what protects Point Reyes, is unique and critical. but it can also have unintended consequences.
It's really trying to look for untrammeled areas or pristine areas of wilderness which maintain their wilderness character even now. But the irony there is that can, you know, frequently put high wilderness value on areas that are simply hard to reach, like the very top of a mountain peak or a very sparsely populated area.
In other words, places where people can't go. She says at a time when habitats are shrinking and we need to convince people to care about nature, we might want to seek a third way, a way that doesn't see humans and wilderness as incompatible.
More and more, I think people don't want to see the sort of black and white wilderness versus non-wilderness. In a way, I think we've almost evolved beyond that. And I think it's time for creative approaches to think about how can we both incentivize and protect the development of our local sustainable agriculture, organic agriculture, but at the same time preserve these wild areas for future generations.
An example of how this could work is just up the road from the Oyster Company at the Rogers Ranch. It's one of the historic cattle ranches that are all over Point Reyes. Now, the ranch land was never meant to be wilderness. It was created as a pastoral zone and always intended to be working land, nestled in between wilderness and local towns. On a sunny day, Domingo Rogers is finishing up a welding project.
This used to be my ranch, but I retired and my nephew has it now. I just stop here once in a while when I need to use some of the equipment in the shop.
Rogers is 63. He grew up here and he loves it. Looking out across the ranch, he can name all the plants he sees and the birds flying by. He spent his life both admiring the land and running a business on it. And he says he thinks it's possible for them to coexist.
Why can't you have businesses and people and still have the wildlife? I mean, it's not like they're hurting wildlife. The wildlife is here. It's been here for years.
When you're in Point Reyes, there's no denying that Rogers is right. There's wildlife everywhere. That's why we like to go there. And in some ways, that's what this whole controversy is about. If the Oyster Company leaves Drake's Estero, the Bay Area would gain a truly unique space, the only marine wilderness in the continental U.S. In a world with more people, more cars, more noise, that's increasingly precious. But it's also possible that this place could never be a true wilderness again. In the 50 years since Congress passed the Wilderness Act, our idea of wilderness has changed. It's still somewhere you can seek solace or personal challenge, but it's also somewhere you can drive to, bring your iPhone, maybe your dog. The case of Drake's Bay Oyster Company is just one example of a question we'll face over and over again: how to preserve a wilderness for visitors while fully considering the footprints we'll leave behind. For Cross Currents, I'm Casey Miner.